many of you know, in August I go up to seminary for a week and take classes, and we can still have my licensed lay pastor, but great teaching up there, just tremendous teachers within the Bible school and seminary. And Pastor Steve Lombardo had our preaching class, and a statement that he made that I want to share with you today. It says, "Pastors, you love to preach," which I do. I love to preach, and I'm sure others do too. "But do you love the people you preach to?" That was a question mark. And it really spoke to me, is because I love you. I love preaching. I miss all of you. But God's using us. He's using me. I knew I couldn't get through that without getting emotional, but I do. I care about your soul. I care about where you're at with the Lord. We're going to talk about that today, about his redeeming blood. And it's through him that we are redeemed. So again, I thank you for this opportunity that my heart is here. My heart is in serving the one true God, Jesus Christ. A loving mother once saved her little girl from a burning house, but suffered severe burns on her hands and arms. When the girl grew up, not knowing how her mother's arms being so scarred, she was ashamed of her mom's snarled and scarred hands, and always insisted that her mother wear long sleeves to cover up that ugliness. But one day the daughter asked her mother how her hands became so scarred. For the first time, the mother shared her and showed her how they became scarred. The daughter, as her mother shared about the story of how she saved her life from that fire with her hands, the daughter wept tears of gratitude and said, "Oh, mother, those are beautiful hands." The most beautiful hands in the world. Don't ever hide them. The blood of Christ may seem to be a grim and repulsive subject to those who do not realize its true significance. But to those who have accepted his redeeming blood and have been set free from slavery of sin, the blood of Christ is precious. The free slave never forgets the overwhelming cost of our liberty and freedom. Just as the mother shared with his daughter, I stand here today and I proclaim to you that there is someone who has redeemed and saved me from the fire of hell and eternal judgment. A person who showed Thomas and the others his nail-pierced hands. This person who gave me new life into the world and who promises through his suffering and death on the cross, gave me a new creation. That only by his precious blood I've been redeemed and born again into a new life. As we read in the scriptures, they're a new creation. This person is Jesus Christ. As I stand here today, I praise God for his redeeming blood that he paid for on that cross. In our text today, the Apostle Peter is addressing the Jewish people and the Gentiles, Christians, about being redeemed and what the meaning of it is. Especially, I think it's very good significance for us being this is Communion Sunday. I hope and pray that all of us can say that you've been redeemed. But if you can't say it this moment, follow along with me and I'll show you through God's word that it is possible for you. And I've come up with four steps on redeeming. But first, let's read 1 Peter 1, 18 through 25. In Jesus' name. For you know that it is not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you have been redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of this world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have been purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of God stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. This is the word that is preached to all those who hear today. God, that you would open our hearts, that you would help us to keep our attention on this moment, not hours from now or not days from now, but on this moment. It might be the most important day in our life. Christ said he is coming again. In the twinkling of an eye, Jesus will be here. I pray, God, that your words that go forth today will not return void, that they always provide victory. Thank you, God, for your promises and for your word today. In thy name we pray. Amen. I believe the first step is the plan of salvation in 18. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers. God created a perfect world. In Genesis 1:31, God saw all he had made, and it was good. He created man and woman, a place for them in the Garden of Eden. God commanded them not to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. If they did, they would surely die. Satan came and tempted, and Adam and Eve ate from the tree and failed God's command, and sin came into the world. For this reason, we are all sinners. Romans 5:12 says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. God, by his nature, is a holy God. A holy God. God cannot be in the presence of sin or disobedience. God has also placed a penalty on sin, punishable by eternal death. But God has provided a plan of redemption that we have hope in. That hope is Jesus Christ. And that hope that is provided with for us is to be with him in heaven. God knew that we needed a redeemer even before the fall of man. In fact, God knew in verse 20, it says, before the creation of the world, that we needed a redeemer to cleanse us from the sin that was given. We needed a redeemer. We needed a sacrifice, that sacrificial lamb, to set us free, paying that ransom for us. Romans 3:24 says, for we are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 2:6 says, who gave himself, Jesus, as a ransom for all men. Maybe when we've heard of redemption, we think of a theology term, which it is. But for the people that Peter was talking to, he had to explain it in a little practical, more practical meaning. There were millions of slaves that days in Rome, in that Roman Empire. Some had been there since Rome had been conquered. Their land and their slavery had no freedom. They didn't have any personal property. It was all owned by the owner. Redemption and sin and freedom was something slaves longed for because they were in bondage. Today, each one of us is born into sin, the bondage of sin. And there's nothing we can do, but only what God can do. God has that plan of redemption for us. Our Heavenly Father sacrificed his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, so that I and you might be redeemed. I believe the second one is the price of redemption. In 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or perfect or defect. Gold or silver will not save people from their sins. In the Old Testament, people offered animal sacrifices, and those sacrifices were the best of their animal, without defect, but perfect. The Old Testament sacrifice was merely a picture of God's ultimate sacrifice to come, and this would be his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only way to remove our sin. He is the only one who can save us. We can't pay that penalty. We can't be good enough. Many try to through works righteous. Well, I've done this, I've done that, I've been good all my life. I kind of look at myself and I'm better for better than Bob, and I'm better than Dave, and I'm better than Bud. But only by the precious Lamb that we can have redemption. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, you were bought at a price. The price is God's love. I think too many times we take that for granted. I do. when I see some of these Christian movies coming up, and how God is just working through them, brings new life into me that there is hope. The prayer room, where prayer, the power of prayer changed a marriage there. Thank God that He does the changing in our lives and it's not us. With every slash on him back, Jesus' back, Jesus paid the price. With every thorn that stuck into Jesus' head, Jesus paid the price. With every spike driven into Jesus' hands and feet, Jesus paid the price. With every drop of blood, Jesus paid the price on Calvary. Thirdly, the process of redemption. In verses 20 through 21, He was chosen before creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through Him you believe in God, who raised Him from the dead and glorified Him, and so your faith and hope are in God. We are able to be redeemed only because of the faith in Christ's finished work. Salvation is only through Christ's redeeming blood. And salvation is available to all who call upon Him. But all people do not call upon Him. People have rejected Christ's salvation since the beginning, and many are rejecting Him today. Jesus paid for our sins on Calvary in full. In the bank, when people would come in and pay off a note, we would stamp it, paid in full. No more obligation. Jesus paid it on Calvary. Jesus said in John 10:28, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. A bumper sticker said, God is in the business of restoration. Old and new. Larry worked with old tractors, took them right down to the bare metal, and restored them into a new paint job. That's restoration. But in the spiritual aspect, we are sinners. We are broken. We are like filthy rags. But God has restored us into a living hope, into a new creation. It's by the power of Christ's blood. And just as Peter explained the gospel to his people there, God is extending that invitation today to us who are hearing. God is extending that same gospel. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. I'm going to leave with you one way that God reaches people. A traveling evangelist was riding along and singing to himself a song called, I've Been Redeemed. A fellow passenger heard him and began to sing along. When they had finished singing, the evangelist asked the stranger if he had been redeemed. The man said, yes, praise the Lord. So the evangelist asked him what that was, when that was. Oh, the man said, about 2,000 years ago. The evangelist was astonished and thought the man was pulling his leg. The evangelist asked, 2,000 years ago? The man replied, yes, sir, but I'm sorry to say it's only been about a year that I've known about it. I'm sure everybody here has known about Jesus Christ and his redeeming blood more than a year. But I don't know if everybody here has accepted that redeeming blood. God knows the heart. God stirs the heart. God brings conviction upon the heart. God brings love into the heart. God brings men and women and children into the family of God. I just pray that if you haven't felt the presence of God today in your life, it's probably because you've shut him out. But God is powerful. God is convicting. Just as his evangelist and this man. I just pray that you know him today. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your words. Thank you, God, that it's you who changes lives. It's not us. Thank you for opportunities in our lives to share the good news of Jesus Christ. That is the power of God that brings salvation, that brings restoration onto us. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that you've given to us, Lord, to restore us to cleanse us whiter than snow. Thank you, God, for each one here. God, that they have heard your word. God, thank you for this privilege to come into your house of worship. Thank you, God, for what you're doing on the mission field of changing lives. We thank you, Lord, for this time that we can come and have communion with you. Bless it, Lord. In thy name we pray. Amen.